RNZ Pacific News, kia ora ana koutou katoa toa ko te ia, ko Lydia Lewis. As cyclone season ends, Pacific regions are now being warned to focus on preventing dengue fever. Samoa is continuing to fight its national dengue fever outbreak, while an outbreak has also been declared in Fiji's Western Division. World Health Organization spokesperson Dr. Mark Jacobs says prevention is key.
It's always a concern about dengue. Once you start seeing an upswing, no one can know for certain how high that upswing is going to go. A lot of the management of dengue is about trying to minimise the number of cases. Good early management of dengue can make quite a big difference to somebody's chances of ultimately dying from dengue.
Cyclone season officially ended on April 30th. Meanwhile, Samoa's Ministry of Health is doing a survey of people's knowledge of and attitudes to dengue fever. The island nation has declared an outbreak of the mosquito-borne illness with 250 lab-recorded cases from November last year to April 21st. The ministry says the survey, supported by UNICEF, is to gather information on knowledge, attitudes and practices related to dengue fever. It says the information will help to inform ongoing community engagement of efforts around dengue. Children in 9 Pacific Island countries will now be better protected from life-threatening diseases following the adoption of more comprehensive immunisation programs. The commitment will see vaccines for pneumococcal rotavirus and human papillomavirus added to national essential immunisation programs. UNICEF Aotearoa spokesperson Frances Wells says it's a significant milestone.
I think the challenges in the past have been that Pacific Island health systems are under-resourced. And also I would say that the Pacific Islands are a very challenging place to roll out vaccines. So we have a large number of islands across a broad geographic area, and it's logistically challenging to get vaccines to reach every child.
The program, which is now being taken on by Pacific governments, has been implemented by UNICEF in collaboration with ministries of health and funding from Rotary since 2020. The manager of an advocacy group in Samoa wants people with disabilities included in the design stages of new road projects. Mata'afa Fa'atino Utumapu from Nuanua Olealofa, or NOLA, made the call at the accessibility audit conducted by representatives of the World Bank and the Land Transport Authority. The Samoa Observer reports World Bank consultant Philip Jordan expressed his openness to recommendations from persons with disabilities to help design accessible roads, bridges and footpaths. The UK Government and the Pacific Community, or SPC, have signed a three-year, £2.4 million funding agreement on ocean management. The SPC says the Integrated Ocean Management and Maritime Governance Programme is pivotal for establishing maritime boundaries as an aspect of national sovereignty and economic development. Head of the UK Government's Oceania Network, Vicky Treadle, says this funding will support Pacific Island countries as they work to ensure a free and open Indo-Pacific and uphold the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, more than two-thirds of households are suffering from financial stress caused by job insecurity. Increasing debts, high inflation and interest rates, sector group The Financial Services Council's latest tracker indicates 70% of New Zealanders are worrying about money, either daily, weekly or monthly. Council Chief Executive Richard Clippen says most homeowners are keeping their head above water, while renters are finding it more difficult to pay their bills. And that audio seemed to have disappeared on me. But in world news, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres is appealing for all those with influence over Israel to do everything in their power to prevent a military assault on Rafah. It comes after the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to launch an insurgent into the southern Gazan city. Mr. Netanyahu says the offensive will happen whatever the response by Hamas to the latest proposal for a halt to the fighting and release of Israeli hostages. Mr. Guterres says an assault would have a devastating impact on Palestinians in Gaza.
A military assault on Rafah would be an unbearable escalation, killing thousands more civilians and forcing hundreds of thousands to flee.
Antonio Guterres is encouraging Israel and Hamas to reach an agreement. Donald Trump has again dismissed his criminal trial in New York as nonsense shortly after he was threatened with jail for repeatedly breaching a gagging order. The judge fined the former US president and warned him to stop making public statements about witnesses and jurors. At the end of the day's proceedings, Mr. Trump expressed outrage that the case was stopping him from being out on the campaign trail. BBC's Nada Twyford reports.
This is a candidate for presidential office. The judge, even in his ruling, said that this is someone who he has to balance his right to free speech with the order of this court. And so the judge, you know, said that this is something he had to do to protect the integrity of the system. But he understands that Trump does still have free speech. And that's why we're seeing Donald Trump being able to still attack this judge despite this gag order.
A dog-friendly cinema in the UK has proven to be a barking success. It wasn't 101 Dalmatians or Reservoir Dogs, but the Amy Winehouse biopic Back to Black that had dog owners selling out a screening at Cinema City in Norwich. Owners told the BBC the idea was brilliant.
I loved it. And she really likes telly, so she really enjoyed it. I could tell she was watching the whole movie.
Because he's a rescue, we don't like to leave him at home, so he goes to work with us. He goes everywhere. He goes on holiday with us. To see him interact with other dogs and how well-behaved he is, considering the start in life he has, fills me with such great immense joy.
The film was screened at an earlier time to allow for a deep clean afterwards. In sport, Tonga Rugby Union says excitement is building up in Nuku'alofa ahead of the first ever Super Rugby Pacific game to be hosted there. Interim Chief Executive Officer Aisea Aloelele says the Moana Pacifica and Highlanders battle at Te Whaiwa Park in the Saturday heat will be interesting.
Our preparation is coming along, the excitement is building, people are running around just doing last minute things and making sure that this game is a spectacle and it's the first time for Tonga to host a Super Rugby game.
Fijiana Women's Sevens coach Sayasi Fuli says getting to Singapore early will help players acclimatise to their conditions there. The team will compete at the Singapore events tournament this weekend. Fuli says the weather conditions are similar to what they experience in Fiji. The team is pooled with Australia, Brazil and Great Britain. Cricket Papua New Guinea will name their 15-member Barramundi squad for the upcoming ICC T20 World Cup this week. The national newspaper says the squad and non-travelling reserves will be announced by head coach Tatenda Taibu. The squad will travel to the West Indies on May 12 for a warm-up match, and Barramundi's are in Group C with New Zealand, West Indies, Afghanistan and Uganda. And that's the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.